Good afternoon, everyone. Can I give it a very warm welcome this afternoon, especially to my colleagues, Alison Johnson, Ian Gray and Neil Bibby, who have joined us today. My name is Claire Adamson and I'm the MSP for Motherwell and Wishaw and convener of the Parliament's Education and Skills Committee. The Finnish education system is regularly ranked as one of the best in the world, and indeed the Education Committee, before I was convener, undertook a visit in this term of the Parliament to Finland, and with the challenges of climate change, an ageing population and technological disruption likely to shape the coming decade, how is Finland preparing its citizens for an uncertain future? And what is their approach and what can we learn? To answer these questions, we are more than delighted to welcome Olli-Pekka Heinonen, Director of the Finnish National Education Agency. And Olli-Pekka is here in conjunction with the David Hume Institute, an independent think tank, who are our partners for today's event. And we are joined by David Middleton, who is Chair of the SQA. Is David in the room? Very warm welcome to you, David. Thank you for coming along. We also have Susan Murray from the David Hume Institute. I thank them both for their support in putting together this event. And I'm also aware that Chamber's business is due to start at 1:30 to do, so some of my MSP colleagues may have to leave sharply at the end of the seminar. So Olli-Pekka Heinonen is the Director General of the Finnish National Agency for Education, which is responsible for all education from early childhood to vocational upper secondary, as well as adult education and training. Before taking his current role, Olli-Pekka worked for the Finnish Broadcasting Company. He also had an active career in politics, having served as a Minister for Education and as Minister for Transport and Communication during his time as a member of the Parliament of Finland. And we are absolutely delighted that he's here to do the presentation for us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you very much for having this possibility to tell some of our Finnish experiences about the education system. And I would definitely like to share some of the main principles and also the challenges that we're faced with and how we're trying to tackle them. I must first say that I really enjoyed being here. I've been a regular visitor of Edinburgh, and it's so nice to be here. And actually, in education issues, it's more than 20 years ago I was the last time in Scotland, and that was in Inverness when I spoke to the rectors of the universities about kind of a small nations approach to kind of how the autonomy of a university and kind of national decision making happens. But to education and our kind of lessons and the basic fundamentals, first kind of showing that there are kind of a lot of similarities with Scotland and Finland when it comes to population. We have two official languages, Finnish and Swedish. We have about 5% Swedish-speaking minority in Finland, and then we have about 6% of persons who have a foreign background living in Finland at the moment. Quite often, when Finland is looked at with different kind of international comparisons, there are kind of three areas where Finland seems to be doing well on those comparisons. One is that when we're talking about an equal society, when we're talking about gender equality or other kind of aspects of equality, then we are quite on the top of the list. The same goes when we're talking about stability of the nation. The same thing happens. We've been ranked the safest state and the most kind of stable state also. So that's another area. And then the third area is with education and kind of innovation. And I'm showing and telling you this because I think it's important to understand that these three things where we're doing well are strongly interconnected. That they're kind of feeding each other in the Finnish society very strongly. And in the kind of idea about equality is something that has been our strength educational wise also, as we are good in PISA, for example. We are not doing well in PISA because we would have had the kind of best pupils in achievements. But our strength is that all are doing quite well. And the differences between different schools in Finland are the smallest among OECD countries. So no matter which school a parent decides to send their children, the closest school is a good school. And that's something that we try to maintain. And of course, that kind of equality and good level of education is one thing that also feeds into the kind of stableness of the society, that there aren't kind of strong contradiction between different groups, but the kind of social capital in the society is a big thing in Finland. And the thing that kind of connects these three issues explains a lot about the Finnish society, and that issue is actually trust. There's a lot of trust in Finnish society, and actually the trust is also a kind of a central pillar in our education policy. Because what we are doing is that actually the Finnish education system is a network of autonomous actors. That the teachers who have a master level education for them, they have a lot of autonomy on pedagogy. How they are kind of reaching the learning and teaching outcomes that there are on a national level. The schools have a lot of autonomy, and the schools are run mostly by the municipalities, which are by the constitution autonomous. And of course, then there's the teacher training happening in universities, which of course are autonomous. So it's a network of autonomous actors, and there needs to be a lot of trust between these actors in order to things to kind of function well. And I'll come back to this issue when I'm talking about the challenges. It's stated in the constitution that equity is the starting point for our education, and that has kind of long historical roots. When Finland first decided to, the idea that Finland wants to be a nation among nations came out about 170 years ago, there was this idea that the best way to do is to raise the educational level of the whole population of our own languages and culture. So education was seen as a kind of a mean to achieve the status of a nation. And that has kind of carried on throughout the centuries. When I'm talking about the equity, it's very important that we create our education system so that there are no dead ends in it. That no matter what choices a children or a young person or an adult does, there's always the possibility to make other choices. So you don't end up like making some choices that would mean that you cannot become kind of making your doctoral thesis or whatever. Kind of, as I said about the trust, and the trust is something that goes through the whole system. And actually, we made some big reforms in Finland years 91 to 97, when we actually reformed the whole education legislation. And what we did at that time was that we had made the decisions that the teacher education qualification would be a master level qualification. That happened 72. And then we saw that when the kind of generation of teachers with that kind of an educational background were in their positions, they were asking for more freedom and autonomy to do the teaching. And that's what we did, that then we kind of increased the kind of room for maneuver for teachers, for local levels. And that actually, that is something that where the trust goes all the way to the pupil and student, that the teachers also trust their pupils and students. And that's very, very important, because the question of kind of continuous evaluation, the kind of feedback loop between the teacher and the pupil, is something that is very vital in the Finnish system. And the idea of that is also to understand that what that child already knows and what he doesn't know. And if there isn't that trust between the teacher and the pupil won't tell it. But when the trust is there, the understanding that this teacher is trying to help me, he or she will tell that I don't understand this. And then there's the possibility for a kind of a learning loop of evaluation to happen. Education in Finland is developed in strongly in partnership, that we see that we're kind of a small nation, and that gives us the possibility that we can gather all actors together. And that's very typical in the field of education, that when we're thinking about that there are certain challenges that we should tackle, we gather all the shareholders together. And then we kind of start seeing that, what could we do together? And then there's the kind of process of trying together to find the solutions. And then this kind of makes it easier once the decisions are done, for example, in the parliament, because all the important actors already know that why they are done and what is the kind of content of those reforms. So the implementation process becomes much, much more easier. Then I come to the kind of challenge part, because we definitely see that we have actually quite many challenges in the Finnish society. And I think they're pretty much kind of, a lot of them have in common the question that education and training, still we've had the idea that we know beforehand what the learners should know. That you give them something that somebody already knows, but they don't. And after the education and training, they know it too. And that's an important part. It's actually kind of transferring everything that the human culture has been able to create so far with different disciplines, knowledge base, and so on. But it's only part of the job of the education. Then there's the question that how can we equip the children for the future that is kind of complex and we cannot predict it. And that's kind of something that where the we have tackled in the national core curriculum for Finland. We still have the kind of basic subjects, school subjects like math and history and biology and so on in our schools. But we're putting stronger emphasis on the transversal competencies. And they have a lot of kind of in common with the kind of 21st century skills idea. But what's important in the Finnish education system is that actually the aim of all education in Finland is to educate the whole person. Not only kind of give some kind of qualifications to enter the labor market, but to see it as a kind of a more holistic challenge. And then actually the aim is to help each child to grow into humanity and be responsible members of the society and have the skills and knowledge needed in life. That's actually what the legislation in Finland says, that what's the role of our basic education. And this is the way that we kind of try to emphasize not only the knowledge and the skills, but to combine those things with competencies. The thing that not only that what you know and what you're able to kind of master in that sense, but what you can do with what you know. Is kind of central in our new core curriculum. Here are the things that we are trying to tackle our challenges. And first one being that we see that, how would I say, the diversity of children and their needs when they come to school is today more diversified than it was 10 years ago. And that means that kind of schools and teachers are a bit kind of struggling that how to cope with that diversity. There are many reasons for why it is, so I'm not going to go deeper into that. But we see that how to kind of maintain a kind of a coherent educational policy in that kind of a situation where there's a lot of autonomy, that the only possibility is that we can strengthen the kind of learning culture of schools and educational institutions to themselves to tackle the challenges. That what we are seeing too often is that there is a problem in one school and the next day it's on the table of the Minister of Education. Like there wouldn't be anything kind of between that. Like the school itself could not kind of solve that kind of problems. And that's what we are trying to accomplish, to strengthen the schools and educational institutions' own capacity and resilience to kind of solve those everyday problems. And of course, then the leadership issues in the system become very, very important. We have had the pleasure in Finland that our kind of different political parties have been had a very strong consensus on educational issues. So it's been possible for us to have a kind of a long-term development in the education system. When the government has changed, it has not meant that you would move from one kind of way of policy to a different way of doing it, but we want to do it also in the future kind of with a kind of long-term development approach. The third one is that, as I said, that there's more diversification from the students' pupils' starting point and their needs. And still we have a kind of an idea that we educate people giving everybody the same. That we say that they start the school at the same age, and then when that class is finished, everybody moves to the next class and everybody starts from the same line. And that's not true, not in Finland. That there, when looking at outcomes, learning outcomes, there may be a kind of a five-year differences between children in the same class. And still we kind of pretend that they don't exist. And that's not true. So kind of to read the equity and equality means that we have to kind of diversify and personalize the learning paths to take into consideration the needs of each child. And that's a huge challenge for the teachers, how to do that. And of course, we're having kind of certain possibilities with the new technology that it could come in help with a personalized learning path. And last one is that the thing that we're proud of is that our schools can combine good learning outcomes and the pupils and students' feeling of their own well-being. That those both happen at the same time. And that's what we're kind of discussing with the kind of Asian nations that are doing well in PISA, for example, that the well-being is their problem. And we see that we have to take care of them both at the same time. That if the well-being is not there, the learning won't be there. And when they are both there, it means that you kind of create the individual's ability to take care of his or her well-being in the future in a better way. One area where we have been able to kind of make the kind of personal learning path possible is our vocational education, where we made a recent reform where the whole system is kind of competence-based. The idea is that when a student comes in, whether he or she is a young person or an adult, first you look at what he or she already knows. And then you concentrate only on the issues that are missing. And you do it also in a way that you take into consideration that what are that person's abilities to learn kind of on the job, for example, or does he or she need more support with a kind of vocational education institute type of learning with the kind of teachers strongly involved there. Last, I would like to say that what we're trying to do is actually to move a bit from the educational system approach towards kind of learning system approach. And then what comes important is not only the formal education that happens with the kind of education institutions kind of supply, but it's a question that what's the kind of non-formal and informal learning and how we can make that visible and make that kind of human capital of each individual. And that's the thing that, of course, brings the kind of labor market learning in labor organizations and the kind of educational sector very, very in a close dialogue with each other. So these are the issues that I would like to share with you, and I'm very happy to kind of involve in a dialogue with you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.